Who is your American Idol? So tell your neighbor, who is your American Idol? Tell your other neighbor, who's your American Idol? All right, you are, just so you know, you've been given a sheet of paper, and you are going to obviously follow along tonight. You got pens, you get to fill in the blank. Now listen, if you don't get all the answers right away, don't disrupt your neighbor. What was that answer? Because it's not a test. You can wait till after service. Agreed? Agreed. All right, everybody look at me real quick. Look at me real quick. Everybody, all eyes on me. As you're writing, if you miss a question, don't bother your neighbor. Get it later. Cool? Don't worry, they're going to be on the screen anyway. So I'm going to give you some scriptural background as far as what we're going to be talking about tonight. You know, the word idols, they've been around long before American Idol. Long before American Idol, there was actually idols in the Old Testament. Actually, it was first mentioned around Moses' time when idols came into play. Everyone say idols. I want to remind you tonight that it's way too easy to let Jesus Christ not be ground zero of our lives. It's way too easy not to let Jesus be first in our lives. So tonight's going to serve as kind of a reminder of where is he at in your heart right now? Where is he at in your life right now? So God told Moses in Exodus chapter 3, he said that he was going to lead the children of Israel and out of Egypt. How many of you guys remember that story? God spoke to Moses through a burning bush. By show of hands, if you heard that story, raise your hand. Praise God. Look around. Not everybody's heard the story. And look, we're going to take a moment just to applaud the people who haven't heard the story. That's why you come to church so you can learn stories, right? You give them a hand of applause. Good. Thank you. So you're going to learn something tonight, even those who heard the story. So God told Moses in Exodus 3, he was going to lead the children of Israel, who was trapped by Egyptians, out of Egypt. And then Moses freaked out. Almost immediately, Moses said, "What? You? Me? Not me. Are you kidding me? I can't do this. Who am I?" And he immediately started making up all these excuses. He said, "Man, I can't do this. No, no." He told a burning bush, God speaking through a burning bush, no. Imagine that. So in Exodus chapter 4, I'm just going to give you a brief summary. Exodus chapter 4, God gives Moses more incredible signs that he was truly with him. Remember, he used the staff. He said, throw the staff on the ground, turned it into a snake, pick it back up, it turned into a stick. You know, he was saying, man, I'm going to be with you, man. I got all this stuff for you. And yet, despite all the encouragement of the Lord to Moses, Moses demanded that God would give him Aaron. We actually didn't say that, but in other words, he was saying it like this. Even though God was telling Mo, I'm with you. I'm with you. The big I am, the God of the universe. I'm going to be with you when you go talk to Pharaoh. I'm going to be with you every step of the way. But you know what Moses said? We call him Mo, not Maurice. But you know what Moses said? In other words, I know you're going to be with me. You show me all these things with the sticks and everything, but I'm still not confident. Can you give me Aaron? I'm still not confident. Yeah, God, you're going to give me magic tricks or you're going to convince, but no, it's not good enough. You're not good enough. I can't talk. I can't speak. Even though he didn't say that, you can imply that. Because he wasn't satisfied. You figure after he was throwing a stick on the ground and picking it back up, that'd be enough to say, all right, God, I got this. It wasn't enough for Moses. So Moses asked God. Well, the first thing I want to kind of point out to you today, it says, like the children of Israel, we easily become people who worship idols. Now, how do we do that? Because we often demand a God who we can touch and feel. Think about it, man. Isn't that true? I'll say it again. We often as people demand a God that we can touch and feel. It's very true. No one is worshiping now. Don't get it twisted. No one's over here in America. It's very hard to, you walk outside your house and you see big statues of, of people worshiping statues. Now, if you go to Mexico, you'll see the Virgin Marys all everywhere and people worshiping and all these saints, you know, stuff like that. But in America, it's very odd for you to walk into somebody's living room and there'd be a huge Buddha statue and it's very, you're not really going to see that. But it's human nature for us to want to touch and feel something we believe in. That's why our faith is so unique and so powerful, because we believe in the unseen. That's faith. But it's our human nature to say, how many of you have ever, by show of hands, be honest, have ever doubted God's existence? I'm in that. That's a good place to be. That's a very good place to be, because you know why? It means your faith is being tested. Saying, how do you truly, deeply believe? Now, in Exodus chapter 4, I want you to see this. Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, it says this. It says, the Lord became angry with Moses. The Lord became, I don't know about you, but I am not trying to be on the bad side of God. I don't want God mad or angry at me. You've seen Jesus when he was flipping tables and beating people with a whip. Imagine the Old Testament God, the wrath of God. You walk into your house, there's frogs everywhere. He's like, I'm angry. You know, I don't know about you, but I do not want to experience the anger of God. And so it says that he was angry with Moses. And this is what God said. He said, all right, I will send Aaron with you to lead the children of Israel. I like to share this thought. If you rationalize with God too long, you try to debate with God too long, come on, God, sometimes he'll let you have your way, but which isn't always a good thing. So if you, sometimes we rationalize with God, I want, he's saying, no, I want, give me an answer. And before you know it, he's like, go for it, have your way. And I don't know about you, but sometimes in my past, I've rationalized with God, and it's hurt me in the end. I was like, God, you're right. I come back to the cross. She wasn't the girl I thought. He wasn't my hero. You know, not that I'm just speaking for the girls. Thank you. All right. The next point I want to talk about is idolatry. We're going to talk about what that word means. Idolatry isn't necessarily worshiping an image of some sort. Idolatry is a big thing in Scripture. It's all over the place. It's everywhere. Old Testament, I mean, it's everywhere. But in Scripture, idolatry is this. It's when I let my heart move away from Jesus and I put someone or something else at my heart center. I'll say that again. It's when I let my heart move away from Jesus and I put someone or something else at my heart center. Real quick, in Ezekiel chapter 14, it's there, it should be there in your notes. It says, and the word of the Lord came to me saying, these men, this is God speaking, these men have created idols in their own hearts. Should I even listen to them when they pray? Ouch. Listen to this line. Later on he says, I'm still trying to capture their hearts. That's God saying, listen, man, I'm still trying to capture their hearts, but because of their idols, they're far away from me. Because of their idols. Sometimes we put, like we just defined, idols aren't necessarily statues. Aaron was Moses' substitute for an idol. He would not do it. He needed Aaron. He needed the security of having Aaron there to do what God's called him to do. He was a person. Now, let's have some fun here real quick. In the American culture, we're going to start with this section. In the American culture, why don't you shout out a couple of idols that we, our first thing comes to your mind. What are some idols that we have in America?
Justin Bieber.
Bieber fever. Justin Bieber. All right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Twilight.
How many? Twilight is an idol. It's becoming an idol. Absolutely. The Wolfman, the ugly looking vampire. Seacrest. Ryan Seacrest. All right.
Michael Jackson.
He still is an idol. All right. Let's go on this side. Who? Jay Leno, you said? What? LeBron James. Yeah, absolutely. Boo. Sore subject. Who else? Who? Jordan. Music, absolutely. Music can become an idol. What else? Sports in general. Now listen, I tried out with for all kind of sports, but I kind of stuck with ROTC. But I made all the teams in sports in high school, but I like my coaches hated me. Like, why are you trying out? Because I want to get in shape. And I'm going to quit, join ROTC. I don't know why I did that. So let me get a quick shout out to all my ROTC people in the building. Where you at? Two. Representing. Three. Yes. All right. How about, where's all my basketball people in the building? Yeah. Football. Soccer. Golf. I'm not going to forget the sport that's dying right now in Cleveland. Baseball. Yeah. All right, all right. So, any other idols that come to mind that can become an idol? Facebook, okay. Friends. Friends can become an idol. Chipotle. Somebody said Facebook. Absolutely. So, there's all kind of things in America that we become idols to. There's all kind of things that grab our attention. There's all kind of things that we like to worship. But tonight, we're gonna do you're gonna see a drama, and it's kind of a twist on worship. It's called Who Do You Worship? So we got the drama team up, Mary and Rosalie. You go. Just out of the way. Right here in the center. You go. Woo! Good job. Now I have to be honest with you. I mean, give it up for them. That was good. I have to be honest with you. I personally wanted to say that to so many people throughout my lifetime who choose to love other things or love relationships or choose other things in replace of who God is in their life. And sometimes you get caught up in relationships and you think it's all good, but there's people in your life that are saying, look, you're missing everything. You're too young to be too dedicated to one person. You need to get your heart dedicated to God, you know. I've had many opportunities to share that, and so I thought that that'd be great. Now, let's have an honest moment here. I don't care, and I wrote this kind of down, but I don't care if you're backstage leadership, you're in Havoc, you're in Lion Chasers, you're in any small group, if you're an usher, if you're a leader, wherever you're at, I really want to have a honest moment. You guys can take, you know, we're going to take 30 seconds and kind of just see where our heart's at. I ask you this question, what or who is your idol? What is taking the place little by little of God, of Jesus in your life? You know, Matthew says, as you're thinking, that where your heart is, there's your treasure. Now, treasure is T to the third power. It's time, talk, and thoughts. Where are you spending your time at? What are you thinking about all the time? And what are you talking about all the time? And these things can slip in and become your idol. So just take some time and really, really search your heart. All right, in Colossians, as God's continuing to show you, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, it says this. It says, you are complete in a man. Is that what it says? What's that say? The next verse, the next slide. Who's up there? Somebody leave? All right. You are complete in what? In Christ. All right, it says, you are complete in Christ. In other words, you have everything when you have Christ. You have everything when you have Christ. You are completely filled. You are completely full. You have everything when you have Christ. Now, there's a lot of times when I have to check my heart. I have to check my heart often because sometimes I let something or someone take the high place of my heart, my life. Now, it can be video games. It could be talking all the time. It could be my phone. It could be many things. It could be Facebook that slowly start taking my time, my thoughts, take all my energy. So little by little, I have to do idol checks in my heart. Like, God, am I replacing you? Am I spending more time doing this than other? You know, I figured this. If I could spend 2 hours playing basketball, if I could spend 2 hours, doing whatever, and yet I can't spend 20 minutes in my Bible, 20 minutes praying without feeling like Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, then something's wrong. You know, I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to be too holy. But, you know, that's sometimes how I do it to gauge. I have to guard my heart to make sure, you know, there isn't anything slowly moving into the place where Jesus belongs. Amen? Are you checking your hearts as I'm speaking? Exodus 32:19 reads, it says, Moses, he came down from the mountain of God. And when he got near the camp, he saw the Israelites worshiping the idol of the golden calf. Now, what the golden calf was, honestly, Moses was on the mountain for 40 days. And he left his idol, he left his Aaron in charge. He left his guy that he put, you know, a lot of trust and confidence in. He left him in charge. And when he came back, all the Israelites got bored. Again, We as our human nature is to worship things we can touch and feel. And so they took all their jewelry off, they melted it down, bashed it, and formed a golden calf. And literally started worshiping that calf, singing songs to it. Hallelujah! To something they just made out of gold. And so Moses is coming down from the hill. He's got the Ten Commandments in his hand. He just spent 40 days, and God just wrote with his very fingertips on the Ten Commandments. He's excited. He's ready to come and say, man, we're ready. And in the moment of terrible anger, he looks, he throws the Ten Commandments, the tablets on the floor, and they crumbled and laid at his feet. He just, what are you doing? And he threw the tablets on the floor. He was mad at Israel for making a calf as an idol. But Moses, their great leader, had an idol of his own, and it was Aaron. It's like, man, remove the sty before you try to remove the plank, right? We're dependent on each other. Moses was dependent on Aaron. And we should be dependent on one another. We should depend on friends. Help me out. Your strengths. We're the body of Christ. You do something that can help me. I do something that can help you. That's what we're all about. But if it's too much, if you depend too much on other people and not depend on God, they can slowly take the place of an idol in your life. That's why a lot of people fall away from God. You'll see people are passionate about God. They'll come into your small group, and this is leaders. They'll come into your small group. You'll see this. And peers, you'll see them. Oh, they're on fire for God. They're jumping around. They're worshiping. They're quoting scriptures. They come in carrying their big old Bible with all, looks like they got a bunch of notes in there. And, you know, they just looking all spiritual and godly. And when you talk to them, they're always talking about God. And it's just something amazing about them. And, man, I want to be like them. And they're so good, man. I want to hang out with them. And slowly start hanging out with them, do Bible studies with them. It looks all spiritual and all great, but guess what? That person still has issues they have to deal with. And so little by little, you put all your trust on that one person. That one person falls away from the Lord. I've seen it many times because their foundation wasn't built. It was just all flash and passion. They're like, yeah, yeah, I like lights. And then I'm gone when tragedy comes. Where are you, God? And so that person leaves, and I've seen that happen so many times, and I've seen the person that was pretty much worshiping them say, God, are you even real? That person was on fire for you, and all of a sudden, they're gone now. What am I going to do? I haven't made any other friends in church. I don't have any friends. She was my only friend. He was my only friend. And now they fell away. Sometimes we depend too much on people and not on God. I want to implore you that as you're growing to know God, as you're growing to learn about Jesus, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Don't say that. Don't look at my wife Rebecca as the perfect example of Jesus. Don't look at me as the perfect example, because why? Because we're both striving, we're trying, we're passionate, but we still have things that we need to get together. Just like anybody else in this room. And that's why I've determined when I first got saved, I said, man, I'm gonna listen to people, I'm gonna depend on people, but my main dependency is gonna be on God. It's going to be on the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach me. He's going to lead me. He's going to feed me. He's going to guide me. I'm not going to worry about everybody else. I'm going to make sure that my heart's right. If I come to church and I don't know anybody, it's my fault because I'm not meeting people. If I'm at home and I'm looking on those wrong sites and looking on those wrong channels and I know it's wrong, it's my fault because I'm the one taking blame. I'm not going to blame my small group leader or blame anybody else who I was looking up to for not holding me accountable. Because the Holy Spirit holds us accountable, right? Just like when God chose Moses, he chose Mo, I like calling him Mo. God chose Mo for the task of freeing the Egyptians. But Mo put all his dependency on Aaron. He said, God, I'll do this, but I'm not talking. I need Aaron. Now, what would have happened if Aaron would have said no? Would Moses have done it? See, he put all his dependency on one God. It's like if he was saying, God, I know you're going to be with me. I know you're going to be there with me. I know you're going to give me all the things that I need to talk to Pharaoh, but it's just not good enough. I need to have somebody there. I want to say this. Beware of undoing in a careless moment of disobedience the work that God's grace has taken much time to build. Isn't that good? Beware of undoing in a careless moment of disobedience the work that God's grace has taken much time to build. You know, when Moses threw the tablets on the floor, it was more than just his anger against somebody else, the Israelites worshiping another God. Moses just undid what the Lord took time to do. Imagine that. He wrote those commandments with his very finger. He took the time to write all 10 commandments with his very finger. And as soon as Moses lost his temper, he broke it. In a moment of anger and rage, in a moment of disobedience, God didn't tell him to break it. God said, take them down to the people. In a moment of disobedience, he undone what the grace of God has given. So that's what happens. We have to be careful in our lives that we don't undo the grace of God on our lives, that we don't ruin the call, that we don't mess up and just leave it. Here's some ways that we can undo what the Lord has done in our lives. Here's some simple ways. Harsh words. Sometimes God will build me up in my prayer life. I'll be in my secret place and I'm talking to God and all of a sudden I'm feeling confident. That day I was feeling real insecure. That day I was feeling real low. That day I looked at myself in the mirror and said, man, I hate you. That day I needed to get into God's presence. And that day I got into God's presence and he started reminding me, man, I love you. You're amazing. You're this, you're that. You're going to succeed. You're going to do great things. He told me all this stuff. Then I go out and hang out with a bunch of other Christian friends. And they start saying some harsh words jokingly. And they start saying, yeah, you suck. You're a loser. You're ugly. Look at your shoes. And all of a sudden, what you're doing is undoing what the grace of God just took time to do. Here's another way. Got to beat this with, like, we kind of say this all the time, but it's true. Pornography. Get addicted to pornography. Pride. Sometimes our pride can undo what God has done. Sometimes our tempers undo what the grace of God has done in our lives. God's working all this time on you and saying, come on, have patience. Let me work on you. Let me work on you. And in a split second, like Moses, you have rage. You lose your temper. You just undid all the grace of what God just did in your life. Now you have to come back and start. God, fix me. Work on me. Let me learn from that lesson. Let me learn from that lesson. Let me learn. So you can't beware of undoing in a moment of disobedience what the grace of God has taken time to build. Amen? Isn't that good? And it ministers to me. I'd like to share this too. If you're a leader, stand to your feet. Now say this. If you're a person that has influence, even over one person, stand to your feet. If you have influence over one person in your life, stand up. All right, sit down. Just so you know, every single person in this room should have been on their feet because every single one of us are leaders. A leader is somebody who simply has influence over someone, simply meaning you can say something and that a person will listen to you. You may feel like you have no influence, but I guarantee you, if you say something to someone, a close friend, anyone, you're considered a leader. And I've heard this quote many times in the past. It's not in your notes, but I like it. It's always remember, and this is for me too, always remember that people don't always do what I say, but they will always do what I do. Does that make sense? People won't always do what you say. Don't smoke that. Yeah, whatever. Then they watch you not smoke that, then they might be more convinced not to do it. And I've seen that. That's what people call Christians hypocrites, because they do things, they say things, I don't listen to that junk, and then they do it. Or I don't smoke that junk, and then they do it. Or I don't watch that junk, and then they do it. Or I don't date those kind of girls, and then they do it. I don't date that kind of guy, but then they do it. And so remember, leadership, it's a little nugget for you. Leadership is more important about what you do than what you say. In sports, if you're a leader on the court, you're not going to be the guy. How corny would this be, my sports players? If you're in the huddle and you're like, all right, guys, somebody speaks up. This is what we got to do. You got to hit that shot from the three-point line. You got to blaze it in there, dude. I set the pick and roll. Set the pick and roll. And you're like, all right. And the dude goes back and sits on the bench and he sits down. And then they call him in the game. And he never hit a three-point shot in his life. He don't even know what a pick and roll is. Would you really listen to his leadership? Yeah, okay, sit down, little Timmy. What's a pick and roll? I just heard the coach say it. You have to live it out. You have to be that kind of leader that just does it. Amen? Exodus 32, verse 20 says this. Moses, he took the golden calf, idol, he melted it in the fire, and when it cooled, he pounded it into what? He pounded it into powder. He took the powder and he spread it all over the surface of the water. Then he told the people to drink it. Like powdery water, it's kind of nasty. So Moses, think about this. Moses, he saw the calf. He looked at Aaron, his idol, his American idol, or his Israeli idol. It said, why'd you do this? He took the calf, broke it, pounded it, boop, 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 burned it, molted it till it got ash, took the powder, laid it across the river and told everybody, you know, get some cups. And they had to drink that water. And you're like, man, why? What's the significance of drinking the powdered water? What does that mean? Well, just one more skit you're going to see. We're going to try to kind of relive that. It's kind of hard to do sometimes to relive that actual scene of kind of what it looked like. It's going to be really fast. But I want you to kind of think a little bit about that as you watch this skit. All right, glorified dust, that's what our idols are. It's all it is, has no substance. You think that what you're good at right now, what you're putting all your focus into now will last. It won't last. Choose your idols carefully. Because one day, we'll all eventually drink from the powders of where we have placed our hearts. One day we'll come to that point where you guys are going to have to drink some nasty powders. But let me tell you this. For those of you who've put your heart in Jesus, and he's the only one, he's the center. There's no other idol. There's no other place in your heart. He's the very ground zero of your heart. You're going to be drinking of some living water one day and every day. He says he's the living water. That means there ain't no powder, no crushed idols up in there mixtured. It's no Kool-Aid without sugar. I think that's what it'll taste like, Kool-Aid without sugar. But with Jesus, man, he puts the sugar in the Kool-Aid. Amen? Amen. Who likes sugar in their Kool-Aid? Amen? Who likes a lot of sugar in their Kool-Aid? I do too. When will we ever learn that the most of the emotional idols that we cling to are nothing more than glorified dust? Relationships. I can tell you so many times I've been in relationships in high school. I have friendships. I share a story of a friendship that I had since I was young. Man, this friendship was everything to me. Every day I wanted to be around them. They wanted to be around me. They were there. I was there. I loved hanging out with them. My day would be considered boring if I didn't hang out with them. You know, it was just this passionate relationship I've had with them all these years. And then one day, the Lord told me, he said, listen, you're going to have to make a choice right now. Either you're going to give me all your heart or you're going to share your heart with him and me. I want all of you or none of you. And I said, oh God. So I went to my friend's house and little by little, I just got more and more uncomfortable. I said, man, this isn't fun anymore. This isn't fun anymore. Why are you going to church, man? Stay here. Oh, are you going to go to church? I respect that. And little by little. And finally one day, the emotional, I broke that friendship off. And to this day, there was such an emotional like connection that's unhealthy. Because, you know, there'll be guilt. You left me, man. You left me. We used to be like this, and then you just went this way. and you went up with God, and I didn't want to go with you. You left me. And now there's this emotional attachment. And that right there can take all your time, thoughts, and talk. And that right there can become an idol, an emotional idol that you have to destroy, that you have to let God crush and set at his feet. Amen? So in closing, sometimes I have to ask myself, what have I made too important to me? And listen, this is kind of a check at where you're at. Every day I need this check. What has become more important in your life? Almost too important in your life? What has taken the place where God belongs in your life? And you can say nothing, but sometimes little by little it creeps in. And you can say, man, I used to be this close with God, and now I feel like this close, because little by little you let it in. So tonight, I'm telling you, watch what you're letting in. Look at it, and if it's taking the place where God's at, it's time to get right. It's time. Leader, all of us, we all go through it. But it's time to make sure our hearts are right with God. Amen. We're going to kick religion out the window. This is not about religion. It's not about having a face and saying, I'm holy, I don't need to respond. This is about a relationship. Sometimes in a relationship, you can ignore the person and mistreat them. Sometimes you can replace them. Sometimes it could be a buzz. That's really weird. Thank you. So I'm going to share this closing thought as we prepare to spend some time with God. Aaron, he was the human idol that Moses insisted on in Exodus 4. Aaron, became Moses' substitute for simple trust and faith in God. But check this out. But afterwards, Aaron became the very person who made the golden calf and caused all the problems for Moses. So realize that in times, the Aarons in our lives or our idols, they often eventually create some of our deepest pain and sorrow. Now, there's nothing wrong with wanting a relationship. There's nothing wrong with wanting a boyfriend or a girlfriend. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if that desire to want to be with someone so much replaces the desire to want to serve God, then that is where that desire has become an idol. Some of you right now can't wait to go home and watch TV. Or can't wait to go home and jump on Facebook. Or can't wait to go home and have that sandwich that was left on the table. You've been salivating over it. But sometimes, man, when we replace our desire for Christ, man, and things slowly start creeping in, they become an idol. And I'm here tonight to tell you by the Spirit of the Lord that he's here to come back, and he's calling you to come back to the center focus of who he is. Young person or not, young generations can serve God. He's here to break the addictions of pornography, the addictions of relationships, bad friendships, emotional, all the things that you've placed sometimes in front of him. And I know in 30 seconds you kind of thought, and there were some things that first came to your mind. You're like, nah, I don't replace you, God, with any of my shows. I don't replace you, God, with, my work. But the Spirit of God is saying, man, I've been calling you, and I've been picking at you for a very long time, and you've been ignoring me. But I'm here to tell you tonight that I'm going to tear down every idol in your heart and come back to square one, come back to the center of your life if you come to me. And that's what the Scripture teaches us. Draw near, and he'll draw near. Holy Spirit's a gentleman. But as soon as you step up and say, God, blow away all these idols in my life, he does it immediately. Amen. God, blow away all these addictions in my life. He will immediately. Burn away all these attitudes. Burn away my anger and my temper. Burn away the harsh words. Burn away all these things in my life that I replace, that I undo, that I mess people up, I mess myself up. Take it away. And he will. And let Jesus be ground zero again in your lives. Amen. You can stand to your feet.